friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time. In this season, we are discussing what walking in our calling looks like and what walking in our true identity is all about. Welcome back to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. This season, we are spending some time talking about walking in our calling and in our true identity. We believe that God has placed a very unique calling on every single person on this planet, and we are on a journey to better understand what calling and identity looks like for us as individuals, but also, just as important, what that looks like in the body of Christ as a whole. Our mission for this podcast is to inspire and encourage believers to share in the hope of Christ as we walk towards the freedom He has given us. So this season is extra special for us because it's giving us an opportunity to look at those individuals in the community that we see leading, serving, and walking in their true identities. And we want to encourage them to keep walking in their calling and keep impacting others so that our community will know that God loves them and He has a perfect plan for their lives. Today, we have a dynamic duo joining us at the table.
Yes, so exciting.
And we have known them for 30 years. And we met Wally and Stephanie Baird here at Old Fort Baptist Church way back when we were all just teenagers. Yeah. In the youth group, just being kids, having fun, doing youth activities, choir.
Singing songs, making up songs, laughing.
Passion play. Sunday school.
That's right. That's right. We've had some good times. So we are so thankful that y'all are here today, and we're excited about what you're going to share with us. And we just know that you're also going to make us laugh. So we are super excited about that.
Yeah. So Wally Baird, Dr. Wally Baird. Right. Wow.
I know. Can you believe that? Just took a lot of classes. Is all
that. That's awesome. We are so proud of you. And so thankful that you and Stephanie would say yes to come share with us, be with us, just give us a little insight into what it means to walk in your calling and your true identity and how you got here. And we're so inspired by you.
Oh, my goodness. I could hang out with you guys more often.
But before we start with questions for you, let's just look back for a little while. And, like, I'm thinking high school, Wally, with you first. You know, we went to Somerville High School, and it was so gigantic that there was a main campus, 11th and 12th grade, and then there was the Gregg campus, 9th and 10th grade. And so I really wasn't in the high school with Stephanie, but you and I, I remember, like, high school, and like, we were really good friends and really purposeful about encouraging each other to walk in our faith.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
I remember that our core group just really encouraging one another, lifting one another up, supporting folks as they had a passion of people for other faiths, and they would chase them down the road. And we would say, Kelly, do we know those folks? And she just wanted to share Jesus with people from other faiths. And we supported her.
Oh, wow.
And if we always had to do what Kelly told us. Right, Christy?
We still do.
I remember, you know, one memory of just the two of you. I think it was my senior year. It might have been your junior year, Kelly. Yeah. the girls' basketball team winning state. And you, I think the whole youth group went up to watch y'all play and how fun that
watch
was.
Watch Kelly play.
Hey, well, you were on the team.
Yeah, yeah, we've talked about that before.
You're a state champion,
that's
Christine.
That's right.
But it was just those times, just the little things. I just remember always supporting one another.
Yes.
We had great influences at church, great examples of what Christ looks like day to day.
Yes.
And Mr. and Ms. Corliss were examples and still are examples to me. I clearly remember Mr. Corliss taking Mrs. Corliss and you two and praying at the altar one Sunday morning. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to be a dad like that.
Wow.
I want to be a husband like that. And there were men at Old Fort who were such godly examples of what it meant to love your wife, love your kids. And they gave such real tangible examples. And then working with your mom at Span Elementary for years, I mean, what a blessing that was for me. And all the children she impacted and the adults. She, you know, just manifest Christ, you know, in her conversations and her attitude and just love it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all that. You know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have social media. So like our friendship was like communicating face to face in school, at church, on the youth trips. And I just have such fond memories of those times.
For sure. And I remember we would keep in touch by saying, hey, we missed you at church yesterday, or hey, where you been?
Right,
or at school, like, hey, come to youth group, or what do we call it? Fifth quarter, you know,
after
our
football
game.
Yeah.
But there was something on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Thursday nights. There was always something to keep us engaged.
Yeah.
And as a family, I really look at those years as I got saved as a sophomore in high school. And so those early years in my walk with Christ, just having such wonderful examples here at Old Fort, but also in the community.
Yeah. So as you can tell, we just have such fond memories of Wally and Stephanie and just what God has done in your life since then and how you are walking it out. Would you just share a little bit before we go to a break about what you're doing and what God's called you to?
Sure. I guess I can start like back in college. You know, I knew I was called to a ministry. I knew that there was a calling for me to serve and help others. I went to my enrollment counselor at the time, said, hey, what do I need to major in? And, her thought parents were missionaries. And she said, you know, Wally, my parents always said, God will use whatever you give him, whatever you had. Don't worry about a degree. He'll work out the details. And then my next question was, what do I need to do to graduate on time? And she said, well, it looks like you have a lot of history classes. So I finished up with a degree in history and English and just I toured some seminaries. I toured some things and just really didn't feel like that's where I was supposed to be. And so I moved to Tennessee to kind of help my mom with some things. I worked as a bank teller and at the Disney store. So it had a great time. Still trying to figure out, you know, God, where am I supposed to be? And I was working as a bank teller and not doing well. It's a hard job, by the way. I just want to say hashtag bank tellers are underpaid. It's a hard job. And I came across a program called Teach for America. And what Teach for America does is places recent college graduates who weren't in education into education. So I interviewed, matriculated through the program, spent the summer at the University of Houston and Houston Public Schools, and I was placed in Newark, New Jersey, where I taught seventh and eighth grade social studies and learned a lot about myself. You know, that first year in New Jersey, it was just a whirlwind. And Stephanie and I, we weren't officially dating, but we would talk all the time. Yeah. Anytime we were on a break, it would be, we would still be such good friends at most of the time. And we would talk and we would, you know, try to encourage one another. And I remember calling her, you know, back then we used the telephone we talked.
That's right.
And it rang in the house and it wasn't just text message. But I remember calling her and, you know, Stephanie was like, you know, we really need to decide if we're going to, you know, move forward or not. And she basically said, you know, I need to know, is this going somewhere or is it not? Because I need to move on or what?
Right.
And I said, well, I said, let's, you know, let's take a break and let's not talk for 3 months and just pray about our relationship. Right. And she was like, well, okay, I'll probably date other people and da, 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 you know, just try to figure things out. And I said, okay. So 45 seconds, like seconds later, I called her and I was like,
I'm afraid about it.
Okay, we need to be married. And she was like, are you proposing to me? Is this how you're going to propose? I'm like, no, but you know, blah. And so I flew down from New Jersey that February and proposed. And we were going to wait a year and a half to get married. But we felt this urgency. We saw God's hand in that. Our first year of marriage, when Stephanie's mom passed away from breast cancer at the age of 47. Yeah. And so, when we were back in Somerville, I was teaching, elementary school and Stephanie was taking care of her mom. And what we realized is that we had each other and we had Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, and we can't rely on anybody but him.
That's good.
And we can't rely on, because things of this world are gone in a minute. And so we really focused on loving one another, learning about marriage, learning about sacrifice. And it's more and more every year you learn the selflessness of it.
That's
and you
right.
want to be selfless because you want your spouse to just be glorified and magnified and lifted up so that they shine. You know, I don't know how, I know
good.
That's, I don't
that's
articulate
good.
That well, but her success, her happiness is my success, my
that's
happiness.
So good.
And
right.
I, you know, whatever personal desires I have, aren't that important. You know, if it's not aligned with God and not aligned with her. And over the years, Stephanie has protected us as a family in so many ways, because there was a time I said, let's go on the mission field and move to China. Let's move to China. And she was like, you know, if the Lord calls you, he's going to call
That's
me.
Right.
And, you know, let's just think this through, Wally, before you commit. Stephanie really helped me ground myself in my calling as a husband, as a father, which led to work life.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't have to go across the world to serve in, you know, mission. If this is your calling, my school is a mission field.
That's right. Yeah.
To be able to work in public service of public education, it has been more than abundant living. You know, John 10:10, you know, an abundant life. And I just claim that all the time. I feel like we are living in abundance and living in God's grace and his love and his provision, even when we don't think it.
Right.
But we are.
That's
we're
right.
being, you know, the jobs I may have applied for that didn't get, God was protecting us, protecting my wife, protecting
That's
my
right.
children,
That's
protecting
right.
us. And so it's just exciting. I mean, we are now dating again, each other, not other people, you know, with our boys. Patrick's 23 and Mason's 20, and we are so proud of them. Yes. You know, Patrick's married, and they live in Rock Hill. He's attending seminary and working, and Sierra is teaching high school. Mason's living his best life, awesome. And he's at College of Charleston, and he's about to go to Greece for study abroad program, and cool. We're just so proud. You know, it's just God has been so good, and we are so unworthy.
We definitely see that abundance, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we have a couple questions just about what you are doing these days.
Hey guys, we're taking a quick break to tell you about an 8-week discipleship study designed to help you live free and stay free in Christ.
Mercy Multiplied's Keys to Freedom study takes men and women of all ages and life stages on an interactive journey with God to explore the 7 keys to freedom that have proven transformational to thousands and thousands of people across the country and around the world. You can go through this study by yourself, with a small group, or one-on-one. Keys to Freedom is also available as a video teaching series for individuals or groups. Find out more at mercymultiply.com/keys to freedom. You can find the Keys to Freedom teaching series on Mercy's online store. Now back to the show. Stephanie, could you catch us up with where you are today? What's going on?
This is my 3rd year. I am an instructional coach in Berkeley County School District at an elementary school, Sangaree Elementary, which is 4K through 2nd grade. Okay. And it's neat because I get the opportunity to really help teachers become more confident in what they're doing and help them have different strategies or show them that, you know, we can come up with whatever it takes to reach children.
Awesome.
And so through that, you know, I've been able to be a part of the administrative team. And, you know, the first thing, I guess about 3 months into my first year, this is my 3rd year there, about 3 months in, my principal said, you know, Stephanie, I love you being my coach, but you were made to be a principal. And I was like, that's really funny because I still am married to a principal, but he's not principal anymore. But no. I know that's not for me. And she was like, yes, it is. And that's what you need to do. And so at that point, I started thinking about it, came home. I said, well, Tara said the weirdest thing to me today. And I told him, and he was like, well, I could see that.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yeah. And so have now added my administration certification on. And hopefully, you know, before I have to walk with a cane, because I'm going to be old, I'm 50, that I will be able to be an assistant principal and then in a few years be a principal because that's where I'm supposed to be going.
Part of the calling, yeah.
Who was your favorite professor when you were going through those classes?
Dr. Baird was my professor at
CS.
Okay, Kelly, it was bad.
God is so good, y'all.
So he is the only person that teaches the human resources and finance class. And in order for me to, I wanted to finish quickly. I had to take it in the summer, and he was going to be my professor. The only professor in my entire program I had to buy a book for.
Oh, that is so funny.
And then I was like, Wally, what is up with like 10 assignments a week? Come on. I was like, this is ridiculous. No dinner for you. I have to do my assignments. No supper. Sorry.
I had a lot of grading, though.
That's so funny. Who'd have known?
Yeah.
Well, y'all, we want to just jump into some questions.
Okay.
We obviously are talking about walking in our calling. We see in both of y'all that God has called you into education, into community, serving, leading, loving people. And so we just want to jump right into some questions. Y'all can take turns, however,
tag team,
however you want to do this. But question number one, just what do you love about the career field that you've been called to?
I'll go first. I just love the fact that you can serve and help people. You share truth and love. You walk alongside folks, families. You encourage teachers. You get to help kids. You get to, you know, make a difference in their lives. I always say to people I work with, I'm like, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm making a difference one email at a time. And that's right. I said, but, you know, you get to coach, you get to help. I see my role, I support principals, so principals can support teachers, so teachers can support kids.
That's good.
And, you know, in just helping principals, helping teachers, but more importantly, it all gets down to the child level, the family level. You know, when looking for people to work in a school, I always look at love of kids and a coachable spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the two big things. You can't teach love. It's really a choice someone has to make. Am I choosing to die to self in love or not? And I have to have a coachable spirit. The more I know, the less I know.
Yeah.
So it's like, God, I feel close to you, but there's so much more that I need from you. There's so much more I need to learn about you. It's the same in career or whatever degree you have. Right. It's like I need to know more. I don't know as much.
Yeah, I get to coach teachers, but I mean, I'm not going to lie. You get to really feel like a rock star in an elementary school. I mean, children love you. And Sangaree is a very high Title I area. And I look at these children and when I call them by name.
Oh, it's so good.
And just, you know who they are and, you know, and express to teachers that our goal is to love first and to get to know children. If a child knows and believes that you love them, they will do anything for
you.
That's
so good.
And just showing teachers that, like I said, just that simple thing of calling a child by name or saying, hey, tell me about your dog and really building that relationship. We have a program in our school that we just started this year. It's called Your High Five Partner. And what was really cool about this is we only did it with our second graders, is every second grader got to choose an adult in the school that they consider to be their trusted adult. Someone that is beyond their teacher, but someone that they can trust. And they got to choose us by name. And I have two little girls that chose me. And that spoke so strongly to me. And that every day they look to give me my high five.
That's
awesome. Or to talk to me or give me a hug. Today, one of them it was so funny. She put all this bling on it that said, I love you. Wow. And I thought, this is so powerful.
It's a privilege.
And to express that to teachers, that this is a privilege to make an impact on your students. And I still, my students that are from when I taught at Rawlings or taught at DuBose, I see them on Facebook and I see what they're doing. And I see now a lot of them that are educators and I challenge them. Mm-hmm. Love. And when I was at DuBose, I had a program that I called, my classroom was room 705. And I called the classroom, hashtag 705, love people love.
Oh, that's good. Wow.
And I said, you will be people who love others. And they these are children with special needs. They were self-contained children. They're like, but Miss Baird, people are mean. I said, yes, but when loved people love, others can only accept that love. We're not going to be hurt. We're not going to hurt people. Love people love.
Wow.
And so just that is an awesome privilege, just to be able to just love children and to call them by name, just like our Father calls us by name.
That's so good. Our next question was just, how does that relate to God's specific calling in your life?
Yeah.
And you've started to explain that already, but how,
well, you know,
what does that look like?
It's funny when I think about, I tell people that teaching was a second career for me, that I was had been in public relations, and I never could see myself as a teacher because I personally was not a very strong student in school. And so I was scared to death to, I thought that you had to be like this very scholarly person to be a teacher. And I just didn't think I could be it because I was not a strong reader. And I think that's why I have such a heart for special needs children, is that when I look at my life and the things that we've gone through and how public relations, my degree at CSU in public relations ultimately was a theater degree. If I had not done that, it would not have opened the door to be able to teach theater, right, which I was able to do. And then that path to continue opening door by door by door to go through. And it is truly a calling.
That
and
is powerful.
So. Well, and our confidence comes from Jesus. You know, although our confidence isn't our reading level as a kid, you know, our confidence isn't your grades. I so much agree with what Stephanie School's doing and what, you know, Stephanie described. Every child in the school needs to have an adult they're connected to in a positive, healthy relationship. Most of the time it's their teacher, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
It can be anybody that works in the school, but that is key for success. Someone was telling me a few weeks ago, you know, kids have changed so much. Kids have changed so much over the years. I really don't believe that's true. I believe adult behavior has changed. Uh-huh. You know, we had time back where we spent time with kids, where we spent time, you know, getting to know them, building relationships and not sending emails and things. And I think our adult behavior has changed over the years. There was something when our boys were little, we felt like we were just running all the time. And so we agreed for a season, we're going to say no to everything. We're going to say no to, we'll commit to Sunday morning church.
Right.
But every time we were coming to church, our kids were crying. You know, they didn't want to be there. And they're supposed to love church. So we just said, you know, we're going to commit. We're not going to be a part of sports. We're not going to add anything extra. And I think that was such a sweet time in our family because we were able to connect because they were little and we were able to be there for them.
Right.
And, you know, and so I just want to encourage like young families, young parents, you know, just look at those things, you know, that the time that you can sit side by side or eye to eye. Kids haven't changed. It's really moms and dads'
great
behavior.
Reminders, yes.
And, you know, as we're transitioning from parenting to more guiding and learning to keep our mouth closed.
Same.
You know, it's been good because God, you know, he's like, well, I've told you this all your life, Molly, and you're
right.
Still not doing it.
Right.
So true.
So, I mean, and so you're calling, having a partner who has a similar calling and a similar love, and people probably would get tired of talking about education all the time, but 70 and I are like, well, what do you think about this? How should we do this? What, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, that helps that passion too, you know, so to live out that calling.
Yeah. I love that you talked about calling your students by name. Because we've been talking about our identity, and it's not necessarily what we do, but it's who we are. And we know who we are because God calls us by name.
Right.
And, you know, and we got to name it and claim it because, like, I'll just say, hey, awesome kids, how are you doing today? And someone said, why are you calling them awesome kids? I said, because they are.
Yeah.
You know, hey, wonderful children, how are things going? I was in a school today, and I was like, hey, you're awesome. And the kid just kind of looked at me like, who is this weirdo? But if we speak truth and love to kids, like, you are who God says you are.
Right.
You're
That's
not
exactly
who
right.
Instagram says you
That's
are
right.
or the number of likes
That's
you get.
Right. That's right.
You know, and our kids deal with a lot. But the response of love and support is still appropriate.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So another question, the world's view of success and God's view of success looks and feels completely opposite some days. How do you bridge that gap?
Something that I hear a lot of teachers say is that, you know, I could go and make so much more money, do this, or I'm just going to throw in the towel because I could go and make more money. And I quickly will tell them, you know, yeah, you can. But when you lay your head on the pillow at night and you wake up the next morning, is whatever this corporate job that you're thinking that you want to go get, are you going to be able to jump out of bed and be excited?
Right.
Because the days are hard. Don't get me wrong. Today I had to explain to a child why he could not take a caterpillar home who was very upset with me. He brought it in from the recess field and his teacher was concerned that the caterpillar was going to sting him and he wanted to take it home with him. And I explained that we needed to think about the hungry caterpillar and that we need to put it back in its habitat and let it go eat so that it can grow into a beautiful butterfly.
That's good.
And he was so mad at me. And I left the classroom thinking, I have 150 things to do right now to get ready for tomorrow. I don't have time to help this child understand that he cannot take this caterpillar home and have this as his pet. But at the end of the day, that same child who was very upset with me about his caterpillar this past Monday chose me to go on a field trip with him because he said, Miss Baird, you help people. So I guess my bank account may not be what the world considers to be successful, but to hear a child be able to tell me that I help people, that is success.
That's so
that
good.
Now today I don't know that he would have said that because he's mad because he didn't get to take the caterpillar home. But
and I think in our careers, we all have a boss. We all have people who have expectations of us and we're going to let them down. I mean, I think all of us have let, you know, employers down in some way or the other, but our calling, we answer to a higher authority.
Yeah.
And I may have disappointed so-and-so, but have I disappointed God? Have I let him down? Am I showing the fruits of the Spirit? Sometimes I don't. Oftentimes I don't. And, you know, and am I giving myself grace? I told a principal the other day, I said, give yourself grace on that. You know, you give other people grace. Give it to yourself.
That's right.
And then learning to understand, okay, this is for this point in time, you know, in this struggle or this dilemma. Okay, how can I glorify Christ at the end of it or through it or through each step? And our purposes are eternal, not in a moment. And so when you're speaking truth and love and you're being that for a child, we want them to see Jesus without coming out and say, hey, look at Jesus. But you want to show and demonstrate God's love. And I always go back to what a privilege and honor it is to have the access to say those things. And like in your field too, when people are in crisis at the hospital and the things that you are positioned, I think God positions his people strategically.
I agree.
And, where healthcare, public education, film, TV, all those are strategic. And God has ordained it he's ordained those steps. And I often think, you know, I'm not worthy. You know, I haven't done anything except just be where God has asked me to be at that time. And it's such a blessing.
Well, Wally and Stephanie, we are so thankful that God put both of you in our lives 30 plus years ago.
Yes.
And I love that we are in a season where we are just looking at different people in our community that we see shining bright, the love of Jesus.
Team Baird is shining.
Leading and making a difference. So we thank you so much for doing that.
This has been such a pleasure. It's so good to reconnect and pick up where we left off.
Yes, that's what, and I think that's another thing that I just am taking away, that the body of Christ does not it would not be fun if we were all the same part.
That's
and
right.
God has made us different. He's made us unique. And you are a dynamic duo. Yes. And we just are so thankful that we are on the same team.
That's right.
And let's just close with this verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We see that in you.
That's right. We do.
Which God prepared ahead of time for each of us to do.
That's right. That's Ephesians 2:10. Yeah. Every week, we like to leave our listeners with something. And this week, we want to leave you with some encouragement. God has a plan for you, and you can trust his plan. And as the Holy Spirit leads you in your calling and helps you understand your identity in him, we just want to encourage you to walk in that humility and be alert to what he's saying to you. And we just want to encourage you to commit to being a lifelong student of his word and continue to keep growing in your faith, allowing Jesus to mature you into his likeness step by step and day by day. Thanks for walking with us today. And until next time,
keep walking.
Hey everyone, if you enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and follow wherever you are currently listening to this podcast. It helps us show up on the charts so that other people can find this and be encouraged by the testimonies. Thank you for listening. Rooted Studio.